It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm actually glad you brought it up because I mentioned publicly the other day that we are pacing behind in ticket sales. There's been a big focus on affordability, and there's actually a misconception still in the market that tickets aren't available, that every single game at Fenway Park is sold out. That's not the case. There are tickets available for our games in April and May, for Tier 5 games in terms of our pricing schedule. 60% of those tickets are priced at under $40. We have tickets for students, college kids, high school kids, middle school kids for every single game at $9. So come to Fenway Park for $9. You may get standing room tickets. You may get field box seats, loge box seats. We have affordable family options, $99 for a family of four, which includes four tickets, includes food and beverage. We understand the commitment that our fan makes, and every single dollar that our fans invest into tickets, food, beverage at Fenway Park goes back into our baseball operation. That's important that our fans understand that connection. I know they do. But there are affordable tickets for Red Sox games this season, and we want to make sure that we get that message.
Agenda Free Friday presented by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Felger and Mass presented by DraftKings here on Agenda Free Friday. Low point for the Boston Red Sox ownership. Sam Kennedy pitching tickets and ticket packages.
Step right up and buy some crap. Like, that's what that was during that awkward press conference. Like,
William H. Macy.
Holy crap, man.
On the day they do a press conference to explain the trading of their best player over money. That was gross.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. I told you if it were Larry Lucchino, I would have skewered him. Skewered him. And because it was Sam, I admit it, I'm biased. I like Sam a lot. But I literally went, oh, my God, Sam, what are you doing? I winced when he said it. I smacked my own forehead, which was easy to hit because there was plenty of space. I said, I can't believe he's saying this. I can't believe he's saying this at this press conference. Oh, gosh, unbelievable.
Low point. Low point for Red Sox ownership. There are a couple of good exchanges there. Again, we're going everything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, and this is how we began the week, that Monday press conference. It was a doozy. Like the Sean McAdam exchange, where he asks, you know, if you knew you had to get under the CBT, why'd you sign Sale and Eovaldi?
Why greenlight the spending that went on after last offseason, including $213 million to two pitchers with some durability issues, knowing that Mookie was coming to free agency and that this was going to be something you needed to confront?
Well, you know, are you saying, well, first of all, we made those decisions on those pitchers before these conversations. As we've said, we were hoping.
If I may, you did say, we've known for more than a year, was the quote from John. about being under the CBT. That was last September.
But we've also said, Sean, that that was a goal, not a mandate. We have been under the CBT some of our years. We've been over the CBT in some of our years. And the more important issue for us is what is it that we can do to make the Red Sox strong in 2020, 2021, 2022.
Okay, when we cut it there.
I mean, you know, now that I think of it, I said to you, Henry chiming in there with right.
So like, good.
He's right, Tom.
He's got us there.
I mean, like, just, Tom, shut up, take the bullet. Right, but the other part I didn't pick up on is McAdams says, John said, you know, and he said, and then Warner comes back with, well, we also said it was a mandate, not a, in other words, like, well, don't believe him. Like, I didn't pick up on that part of it the last time we played it.
That's great.
Well, don't believe him, because we also talked out the other side of our mouth, and we told you the opposite thing. It's like they just fall all over the place. They fall all over the place, all over themselves.
Real tough week for Red Sox ownership. Real tough week. And the trade's just part of it. As we discussed, the thing that just blows me away is that there are a lot of smart baseball people, including you, Maz, I'm looking at you, who think they did the right thing. And that it's smart to stay away from those contracts. The contract Mookie Betts is going to get is, you know, probably by a 95% percentage, not going to work, because those contracts never work.
Correct.
They never work. They almost never work. So philosophically, the Red Sox say, we're not going to sign the player to that contract, so get something for him. And there are a lot of smart people who, you know, follow the game, who say, smart move. But they're so full of crap at the podium, and they do such a poor job of being transparent or just talking to you like a human being, that they turn even you against them. So you're willing to support the move, but they're so full of crap when they explain it that even you end up ripping them.
I mean, it is. They just lose sight of what the message is. I don't know what it is, but I look at it.
They just can't keep it real.
No, they can't keep it real. I told you, and it's not that tough to do. Like, and there's a way to do it. Maybe it's tricky. Right? And again, so you and I have both done this a long time. So maybe we've spent too much time thinking about how things exactly need to be said all the time. But you sit there and you say, look, over the course of time here, guys, we've made a lot of mistakes. Okay, this is why we're in the spot we're in. The closest they came to this was Henry saying the system is not the reason why we're in the position we're in. As if to say this is our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, I just don't understand why they don't just say that. How about just saying, listen, Sean, I understand your question. We've made a lot of mistakes to put us in, we're in the spot they're in. We have no one to blame but ourselves. Fact. End of story. We got in a bind here. We couldn't sign the guy. You know, we're not willing to extend for those types of contracts, as you pointed out a million times. And so we thought this was the best alternative.
They're just incapable of doing it. And now David Ortiz is taking up the cause as well. David Ortiz, who complained about every contract he ever signed, complained about every pitch that was taken away from him by an umpire, or every stat that was taken away from him by a scorekeeper. Every single turn during his however long he was here, 12 years, whatever it was, every year he's bashing the team, the scorekeeper, someone over money or contracts.
Scorekeeper here, that's always horrible.
Now this guy is saying the Red Sox did the right thing in ditching Mookie Betts over money. This was
how about yesterday. The pitchers that go around the mound and do all that bullshit?
This guy, listen to this guy. Boy, that medevac plane out of the Dominican sure changed his tune. This is David Ortiz.
That bullshit.
This is David Ortiz yesterday. You got his cut yesterday?
It is what it is. You know, we had a good offer for him, but
we had a good offer.
I understand that he sung what I was going to get more, so I think the Red Sox decision with him was perfect, because
it was perfect.
You're just not gonna let a great player go after the season. You know, you before the season even begins, you try to get something on exchange that you can have for a long period of time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for both sides, I think it was really good.
Oh God, it's perfect.
We're gonna be acting like a little bitch.
We had a good offer for him. The Red Sox decision was perfect. Quote unquote, the Red Sox decision was perfect.
Yeah, you already started it by saying we, so just use us. You know, like, continue to just refer to yourself as part of ownership.
I'll tell you what, like, as you know, aside from him bitching about his own situation, if he was still playing right now and Mookie were hitting next to him in the lineup and they let Mookie go, he'd go ballistic.
Oh my God, he'd lose his mind.
He'd go ballistic.
And if you don't like it, just get the fuck out of here. Just want to thank you guys, not all of you, most of you, for the staff today. I may not getting hit by the Yankees. Finally got hit. Hope your mother happy. I'm done.
Same guy.
He had some great ones, didn't he? Seriously. But it is. That's one of those where, you know, he was, remember the year he was bitching about he didn't have protection in the lineup?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if he were still on this roster and they traded Mookie, he'd be pissed.
It's becoming to be the show that used to be.
He would. He'd be pissed.
Now it's like we had a good offer. The Red Sox decision was perfect. Both teams won. Like, oh, my God.
Hey, it's just, it's nauseating because he was my favorite. And all these clips, like, I, you know, during his playing days, I love it. Now he's become the Ronald McDonald of the Red Sox. He's just a pitch man.
Oh, how about the pitchers that go around the mound and do all that bullshit?
So between Sam Kennedy selling us family ticket packages and David Ortiz saying the Red Sox
have... We would ask that everyone reserve judgment.
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
We would ask fans reserve judgment.
Ay, ay, ay. That team. It just show a little humility.
Oh, my gosh, seriously. Yeah, it is. It's unbelievable. It really is. And so, but then again, this is part of the reason why they are who they are. The Ortiz thing, really. I don't know if it was the Medvac playing out in the Dominican, like you said, or it's the fact that...
Is he on the payroll now?
Probably. He's got to be.
Oh, he definitely is.
Right? He's got to be. So he's probably sitting there going, man, they're paying me $250,000 a year to do nothing. Great move with Mookie. Yeah. This is great. What's that? Did they get him another pickup truck? Or who was it? Was it him?
Yeah, it was him.
Like, you know, because they felt like they so jobbed him in the negotiation, they bought him a pickup truck. So at this point, it's I can't believe when he opens his mouth now how one-sided it is.
What is he watching?
Seriously. That was a good move to trade him.
First of all, I want to know where those rumors are coming from.
Perfect decision, he said. Vinny and Rivera, go ahead.
Well, I might run out of money.
A little bit in shock with the Red Sox trying to sell tickets after trading the best player. I mean, the Bruins, I'm a season ticket holder. Their prices just went up 6% literally yesterday. We got our invoices in for next year. But at least they can say, hey, we were in the Stanley Cup. We're the best team in the NHL. We're putting a great product on the ice. I mean, to think that you have to go to 81 home games and pay all that extra money to watch what they're putting on the field is just embarrassing.
Did you also hear this? You guys are online. Did they try and get influencers to sell tickets? And when the influencers, and like, who are they talking about when they say influencers? But this is, I guess the Red Sox reached out to social media influencers.
Yes.
Like you've got to, like that whole thing can go F itself. But people with a lot of followers on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, people with followers and clout that, you know, they'll usually put like hashtag ad, you know, some company will reach out, be like, hey, where are our headphones or whatever it happens to be. And because they have so many followers, it's just a different form of advertising. And it works for a lot of these companies. The Red Sox reached out to some of these people locally to get them to apparently wear a Red Sox hat or, you know, talk about the upcoming season or something like that.
Well, they're worried. And when the influencers then asked the Red Sox, what's how much are we going to get for this? What's the payment? They said, we'll trade tickets.
Yeah.
Which they can't sell, which is why they're reaching out to the influencers in the first place. Give an example. When you just say, like, the social media influencer, like, this is, again, another sign of the apocalypse, which is not impending, which is now existing. We are in the middle of the end of the world. Influencers. Oh, my God. Go F yourself. If you call yourself an influencer, I'm going to elbow you in the throat and drop you.
Mike, if I send you down this rabbit hole, you're going to want to die.
Tell me who, like, for example, can you give me one name? Like Dave Portnoy?
No, because he's a legitimate businessman who's, you know, built Barstool up, and it's a great American success
story. No. Is he a social media influencer?
Give
me an example of who.
Won't even know names. It's like,
you're talking like some hot young woman who's on Instagram.
Ass models on Instagram.
An ass model on Instagram.
Yeah, that has like 2.2 million followers. And then she'll be holding up a bottle of shampoo and try like this ass model shampoo. And some company will pay her like $30,000 for that.
Okay, but they have to be local Boston people. There would be guys. Give me another example.
I'm not giving them any follows or likes. I don't know who they are, but I'm sure that they exist. Right.
I'd take an ass model with a hat on each cheek.
But like Maz has, how many followers do you have?
On Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't know, 140,000?
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, 1.2 million.
They wouldn't reach out to you and say, where are Red Sox? I mean, are you a social media influencer?
No.
Is he?
No.
I mean, except for people in the do-it-yourself industry.
Catch the Tool Bags podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com. Maz installed a divider in our urinal.
Partition.
Whatever. It's tremendous. It works. I can now take a leak with a clear head in there.
I mean, I think he probably could technically qualify considering how many followers you have. But, I mean, there's people that this is just, this is what
give me an example. Give me a name of an influencer that they reached out to.
I don't know.
Well, if you just Google this. Like, just look it up on your app.
And if she's hot, call me over.
All right, hold on.
And it's not just ass. They would have to.
It's a lot of ass models.
Are ass models going to sell Red Sox seats?
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and some chick that looks like that is going to be at the game, you're going. I'm telling you, most guys, particularly the ones in their 20s and millennials, they're pigs.
Who do they reach out to? I just need a name. Just give me one name that I would recognize that you could use as an example. Like, this is who they reached out for to have them this whole thing.
Can I give you a would-be like?
Yes.
Diva Legacy. Remember the
of course, yes.
So, Murray, is that fair? Legacy Diva, Diva Legacy, whatever her name was.
No, I just think she was like a random floozy.
Oh, she was just a chick.
Yeah.
It's not just hot chicks. Like, come on.
All right, let's see. How about this gal?
Like Zoe?
Zoe could probably qualify because of how many people are following him. Yeah,
right,
sure.
And he could sell crap. Yeah. Like, do they reach out to Zoe?
Like, who's this gal? Jean Wang.
Hold on.
Yeah, you'd be into her mess. Huh? She's got like 9,000 likes just for walking down South End in Boston.
Give an example of one. I just need an example of the quote unquote influencers that they would have reached out to. All right, that's all. It's an agenda free Friday, if you could tell, to your calls after this.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mass.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
So John, like last week when Haim talked to us, he said, we expect that we're going to be worse without Ben, Ricky, and David. So as the owner, how do you tell your fans that this is not a bridge year?
Well, I mean, I read that. I also think that Haim has said that he believes we're going to be very competitive this year. We hope that that he's right. We sat here a year ago with a team that had won the World Series, and we thought that we were going to get into postseason, and we didn't and get into postseason. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
Don't you think this would be a record payroll for a bridge year?
Okay.
Yeah, one of the benefits of these jobs is you go around, you talk to your counterparts at the other 29 clubs, and you walk into the room, and they sort of roll their eyes and say, yeah, we'd love to have your challenges or your issues. And, Dan, I think Haim was very clear that the club is built to compete in the American League East. But, yes, it's no doubt harder to get to that ultimate goal when you lose a player like Mookie Betts. That's, no one debates that.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Go Red Sox!
Gender-free Friday, everything from the week. Rough week for Red Sox owners after that Monday press conference. I do love John Henry saying that pretty big payroll for a bridge year. He's right. Good for him. It shouldn't be a bridge year. They should contend. They're certainly not a favorite, but they should be in it. They should be.
So, just real quick.
Okay, so the league stinks. They're good enough to win 90 games.
Thank you. Can you give me one influencer, please?
So probably Carrabas, Jared Carrabas at Barstool Sports.
Okay, I said Portnoy before, but that's
And when I think about it, it really does ultimately come down to how much juice you have. Do you have a lot of followers? Then, yeah, Dave Portnoy definitely counts as an influencer. But is that who they reached out to? I don't know. But I wouldn't be shocked if Jared Carrabas was one of these people.
He's already got season tickets, so. Yeah. That's a tough sell to him.
But if you Google the words, you know, like top 10 influencers, Instagram influencers in Boston, that's all the people I'm basically talking about. It's fitness women, it's life coaches, things of that nature, and it's just like, here's me at this fancy restaurant that they were probably paid to go eat at, and things of that nature, and they have hundreds of thousands of followers. The other thing that these sneaky Fs are up to, too, because I'm just getting a lot of messages about this, apparently the Red Sox now have Xander Bogaerts promoting season tickets. In other words, their spam email that they send to try to get you to buy tickets to go see this crap actually has Xander Bogaerts as the sender. So imagine that, especially if you're like...
From Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah, it says like, ooh, Xander Bogaerts just sent me an email? Let me click on this to become a Red Sox season ticket holder.
This is crap the Milwaukee Brewers and San Diego Padres have to do.
At least they picked the right guy. Like, you know, with them, you never know. For crying out loud, they could have Eddie Rodriguez sending them and people like... How would I take an email from him for?
Oh, that whole influencer story. That was from Rich Keefe across the street, by the way, just to give him proper credit. He was the one who broke that, but that is something else, man. I'm telling you. All right, back to your phones on everything here on Agenda Free Friday. Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. David Ortiz is a fraud, period. What he did with Mookie Betts was out of line. And the only reason he's defending Rob Manfred is because back in 2016, it was Manfred who defended him about the steroid test. When that's what it's all about. The guy, it's like David Ortiz to the highest bidder.
Yeah, he's repaying favors
pretty much.
Sox flew him out of the Dominican when he had, you know, bullet wounds in his back, and he's probably on the payroll, and Manfred sort of took care of him on that PED list, and so he's just repaying the favors.
It's a good way to put it, to the highest bidder. That's a good way to put it.
Tommy and Milton, how'd you feel about that Bruins trade?
Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? A guy who scores 7 goals, 16 assists. Oh, by the way, he scored 20 goals a couple of years ago. Oh, because he's Krejci's third cousin. He's going to fit on there. They needed grit and somebody who could put the puck in the net on the right wing on the second line. I never liked Don Sweeney. He got the Executive of the Year award last year. Only because Tampa Bay and Washington wet themselves. It won't happen this year. They won't even get out of the East. They got fleeced. And Maz, you're right. If they don't get nothing else, they look like dolts.
Okay, so I think the awards are voted on before the playoffs. So the fact that Tampa and Washington got bounced, I'm not sure, had anything to do with the award. I could be wrong on that. But generally, those are voted on before the playoffs even begin. Sweeney did a good job last year. Whether he was deserving of the award or not, I could give two poops. He did a good job at the deadline. So I'll wait and see what this kid looks like. I don't know a thing about him. I don't love the sound of the trade myself, but I know very little about the player. And if you're being honest, caller, neither do you. So why don't you wait and see?
So to me, it just doesn't feel like enough. That's all. That's the only thing I'll say right now. I'd like to see them do something else.
Louie and Smithfield on the Bees. Go.
How's it going, fellas? I called last year just posing the question of who's more important to the future of the Boston Bruins between David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy. And I was wondering if your guys' position changed at all with Pastrnak's performance.
I mean, I still think McAvoy. Honestly.
I lean that way, too.
I think the most important spot in hockey is that number one defenseman who can move the puck, take on big minutes. You get in the playoffs and he's playing 25, 30 minutes a night. He's on the power play. He's controlling the action in bat. Like, I even think that guy is more important than the goalie on a lot of teams. I'd rather pay for that defenseman than pay for a goalie because I just think it's that important. Now, I don't know if McAvoy's that guy, but I would defer to number one defenseman overall, over a number one wing.
Let's say they both hit their ceiling. Who's better in the playoffs?
Oh, McAvoy.
That's what I think. McAvoy. I mean, I think his game's more suited to the postseason.
Those number one defensemen are more of a factor. The big guys are playing 30 minutes a night.
Here's the other thing. Look, Pastrnak's terrific. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you he sucks. He's playing with two absolute freaking studs. What happens when they're not there? McAvoy can carry a partner. Can Pastrnak carry a line?
Fair point. Nick in Bridgewater on the NFL CBA. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, so first time, long time. What I was thinking about the 17th game, or you know how they should do that, is based off of their schedule. So it's no longer, you know, you're no longer going to be a 500 team. So if you're, you know, in one season, if you're above 500, that following season, you should get that home game. And all the other teams are below 500 would have to go to.
They're not going to do that.
They would have to travel.
And again, on this stuff, we're not soliciting your ideas. We're taking your thoughts on what's proposed. I don't want to hear your forkocked idea. I don't want to hear about the 4-point extra point, Wiggy.
The idea that in every season the schedule will be inequitable, home and road.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I just think that is absolutely nuts.
Again, that was in Volan's column today, that what the owners want is they still want the 10 home games a year, meaning preseason and regular season. So when they go to 17 regular season games and 3 preseason games, you're going to flip years. Between 2 home preseason and 8 home regular season, and then the next year you'll have 1 home preseason and 9 home regular season.
I mean, the more I think about it, this is really like the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I hate it.
So can I just like think of what the comparable thing would be in the other sports? The Red Sox play 86 home games this year, 76 on the road. What? What jackass came up with that idea?
Then just have it be the 18 games.
And I mean, they're going
trending
to
that way anyway.
And maybe it'll be so bad it'll force everyone to go to 18 games sooner than they wanted to. My idea is the best. These neutral site games is just such a winner of an idea.
If you don't say so yourself.
I mean, I am going to say so myself.
Can't wait to buy my tickets for Pat's Panthers live at Pompeii. Let's just keep playing these foreign idiot games.
He keeps mentioning places that I actually want to go to.
In the shadow of Etna.
He's doing it to mock me, but I actually like these places. What was the other thing I was going to say? The 17th game, there is an opportunity to do something that they should do, and that is, and Volan wrote this too, and he's right, more interconference games.
So I like this part of it too.
It's like, you know, every 8 years, Russell Wilson comes here, that's too much. Or every 8 years, it's Brady versus Aaron Rodgers in Foxborough. That, you know, they should try and bridge that gap a little bit more and somehow engineer those big matchups where you don't see a team for 4 years and you should see a team for four, you know, so like, you know, you should see the Cowboys more than every 4 years.
Absolutely. And it does open up some great matchups because, like, for example, next year, the Patriots will play the NFC West. The 17th game should be against the winner of the NFC North, Green Bay. Right, or Minnesota,
exactly.
Whoever. And then that can rotate.
Exactly.
But at least you're getting the first place team every year.
We continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. Again, if you're just joining us, breaking Bruins news today. They've done something. Here are the details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Here's the thing, too. Throughout my tenure in the NFL and even beyond, you knew that if you signed with the Patriots and you were there at a minimum of 3 years, you were going to play in the Super Bowl. That's just how it went. Yeah. So now you talk about the greatest quarterback of all time leaving. You talk about some of these skill position players, which they were devoid of anyway during this season. Yep. There's a lot to be fixed in New England, especially if the centerpiece of all the success decides to walk and go play somewhere else.
Swagoo, the question is, do you think you were playing the Super Bowl because of Belichick, or did you think you were playing the Super Bowl because of Brady? So I think most players, they were attracted to New England, not because they had the greatest coach ever, but because they had the greatest quarterback ever. And that's why they felt as though they were going to be able to play in the Super Bowl, like you said, if they were there for 3 years, at least 1 year. Now, without Tom Brady there, do you really believe in Belichick, and do you believe in the process? I don't think that a lot of players will believe in it, so it's not going to be an attractive destination for free agents if Tom Brady is no longer in New England.
At Spears, and I'm not sure who they're on, ESPN.
Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard. It's another line of thought that I reject. But Maz heard it this morning, had a thought about it.
So I just wonder, again, I look at it and say, well, Bill's a great coach. Bill will keep in contention. But I wonder, I did wonder, what do the players look at, though? And what made me think about it, too, is when Richard Seymour was here, okay, and I'm going back a ways now, but Seymour and Bill knocked heads a little bit. If you raised it to Seymour, like, you know, what would you think of Bill's game plan? Or he would bristle to the point of, hey, it's about the players. Okay, it's not all about the coaching staff. Let's not go too far and give all the credit to the coach. And I remember him specifically saying that in front of his locker one day. And I just wonder if other guys around the league look at it that way, too. Like, they look at it and say, hey, Bill's a great coach, but it's all about number 12. I just think players are more likely to side with players.
Fine. Do you think they're going to have trouble drawing players to this team?
If they don't pay him?
I think so. I know you...
Yeah, right. This, no, but... Yeah, right. If they don't... But if they pay him?
Well, if they pay him, the guys will come. Do they have a history of paying guys?
I'm not exactly sure how many guys they've really gotten without paying, honestly. Or without trading for. Or how many guys... Someone said this on TV the other night. It was a great point. How many guys has Brady really brought here on his own? That this guy had to play with Brady, and so you got him because of Brady.
Oh, I think you've had other guys that have, you know, had chances to walk and didn't, like Devin McCourty the last time around.
And he stayed because of Brady?
Did it help you re-sign Randy Moss?
What if they cut his pay? Would he have, if they cut Devin McCourty's pay, would Tom Brady been enough to keep him?
No, but they didn't.
I think it's vastly overrated. Randy Moss was traded. Chad Ochocinco was traded.
No, I said, did it help them re-sign Randy Moss?
Re-sign him? No, they gave him money. If they didn't pay him, he wouldn't have stayed.
Would he have stayed if he didn't have a good quarterback?
If they paid him, sure.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Okay, well, I mean, I see what you're saying there. Brady's not the only good quarterback.
No, he's not. No, but again...
I mean, if the Patriots were 75% of the market and there was another team with a good quarterback, if Green Bay was sitting there with Aaron Rodgers paying him 25% more, Randy Moss, gone.
I know where this is going to go, but why did Antonio Brown want to come here?
Yeah, how many landing spots did he really have?
Okay, but
it was Brady.
Don't you think Brady was a draw?
So he was the main reason.
There's one. Congratulations, it got you Antonio Brown, one of the worst people on earth.
So listen, I understand your argument. All I'm telling you is, how does a player think?
I'm telling
you, if any of those players right now are looking at the Patriots, the first thing they're asking is, what are you doing with Brady? Is Brady going to be back? Because otherwise, I'm not playing with Andy Dalton or whatever piece of crap you're going to bring in.
I don't agree with that.
Do people believe in the Patriots' ability to win as much as they did if Brady's not here?
No.
No, but that's not why guys go places.
Well, some guys come here to get at the end.
Most every guy.
Chris Long come here? What was that one? I don't remember that one.
He couldn't get out of here fast enough. He could have stayed.
Yeah, they're dealing with Bill's crap.
The vast majority of guys go to places that they get paid and can perform well. And that's it. And if you can't offer that, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is.
Yeah, I just think there were some guys on the fringe here that you're going to lose. And again, I can't give you a million names.
Why did Gronk hang around an extra year?
But honestly...
I mean, Brady was here. Why didn't he?
I think it's about what the players value.
I mean, what...
No, I think 2018. I think he was. There was talk of him retiring before that season.
Was Brady's presence enough to keep Rob Gronkowski here this year?
I think an extra year. Not last year, but an extra year in 2018.
I think he was on his own schedule and his own time, and Brady's presence was a non-factor. Otherwise, he'd still be here. Was a relative non-factor. It's just overstated. Like, Brady goes, they're not going to be able to get anybody? Nonsense.
Yeah, but I didn't say nobody. I just said the point is, from a player's perspective, not yours, not mine, not anybody, from a player's perspective, do they credit the success of the Patriots more to Bill or Tom?
They probably defer to players, sure.
So I think players, and this is why it popped into my head, players, because I was listening to it saying, well, this isn't necessarily true, but that's the way they think. And if a player thinks that way, then who's to say that a free agent wouldn't think that way? Like, I think players side with players, and I think it could hurt them a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to suck.
Well, it's not going to help, but I still think if you pay them and give them an opportunity, that you'll get guys. I mean, how does every other team in the league get players without Tom Brady? I mean, it's somehow the other 31 teams seem to survive and get players and get free agents and get players to come there. Like, it's just, it's not, the world's not going to stop spinning when Brady leaves. You're still going to be able to get guys.
I mean, I'm eager to see how that one goes, in all honesty. Now, look, last year, you know, Adam Humphries got more money from Tennessee and went to play there, right? Yeah. He didn't come to New England.
Yeah, did Tom Brady, you know, that guy opted to go play with Marcus Mariota.
Correct. Yeah, so.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, there's a lot of idiots throughout the league.
Yeah, but and listen, I'm not.
And who's the other guy they
lost? Money is the primary factor.
Jared Cook they lost out on because of Gronk.
No. Beasley.
Oh, Cole Beasley went to the Bills, yeah.
Went to the Bills. So how did the Bills get Cole Beasley when you were in on him, too?
Money.
Money and opportunity.
And Bill wasn't picking up his phone.
No, it's just, no. That's so. If Buffalo can draw receivers, you'll be able to draw receivers after Brady leaves. This is exactly my point.
But do you think to some players it could be a turnoff?
Yes, it's just vastly overstated.
Okay, that's all.
It's not going to impact you.
Some players it could be a turnoff.
Very, very few. You're not going to notice it. In other words,
I don't know about that.
I mean, people may blame it because they want to play the Brady game. I know you're not in that camp, but it's just.
If they end up with Dalton and he walks, and I hope that no one comes, I really do.
it's something that sounds right on paper that just isn't actually the way it is. If Brady goes, no one's going to want to play.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. I've just seen it too often. I've been at it too long to see a guy going to crappy teams to play with crappy quarterbacks because why? The opportunity to play and money. And that's it. That's 1-2. 1-2 in almost every single case. Name me a guy who leaves money on the table or playing time on the table to go play with a certain player. It just happens in the NBA a lot. It doesn't happen in the NFL as much as you think. I think that's just sort of a myth. That's my opinion, but you know me. I'm usually wrong about these things. Long commercial-free segment is next. Just want to touch on that fight again coming up this weekend. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a right cross that lands for Fury. Oh, there it goes. Mamma mia! Deontay Wilder has done it! Knocking down Fury about 12.
He's up.
Can you continue?
Wow, he got up.
Left hook follow-up to it, which landed, and then his head hit the canvas.
Incredible!
Ladies and gentlemen, after 12 rounds of action here at Staples Center, we have a split decision, and here are the score totals.
So that's how the first one ended. Fury, Wilder. Rematch comes tomorrow night. Looking forward to this one. I think it's a big night for boxing. And I just think this is different than some of the other promotions because The sport is driven by the heavyweight division. It just is.
It's the big boys.
And there was a time when the middleweights were great. That era with Duran and Hagler and Leonard, and you know, that was a great division, or a great, you know, weight class at that time. But that was still also, that was, you know, that was somewhere in between the Muhammad Ali to Larry Holmes. The heavyweights were still a massive draw.
No question.
And so I think it influenced the whole sport. Now, I guess the middleweights are good, but no one gives a crap because no one gives a crap about boxing because the heavyweights aren't there. I mean, that's my view of it. And I've, you know, so I proselytize here. What's the word?
Proselytize. There's an S in there.
You got me. Go.
I butchered it too.
Proselytize. It's a word. It's
proselytized.
I preach. I I'm a little bit of a heavyweight boxing Krishna. I try and sell it to you because I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it. And I've tried to get back into boxing in the lower weight divisions, and I'm sorry, the fights have not interested me. The Canelo Alvarez stuffs, those fights didn't interest me. Who's Triple G, Billy? I watch those fights. I'm like, no one's getting hurt. No one's going down. I'm not sitting here to watch this to see someone win on points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't care about the sweet science. I want to see violence.
Well, and like, Wilder especially, yeah. Right? He's a knockout puncher, and he's a knockout fighter.
So I could give two poops about that. I could give two poops about the sweet science, as you say, Murray. I mean, I like good boxing, but I really want to see pain, and I really want to see big blows and guys going down. And so I don't get that in the middleweights. I've tried UFC, and I frankly can't stand it. Like, I just have no interest in watching these guys roll around on the mat or pin someone up against the cage and elbow them in the face for a minute straight. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
The only lower weight class fights in my lifetime I remember that were actually awesome were the Ward Gotti ones. Like, other than
okay,
that,
so there were good ones. Yeah, that was good, but it's like...
But it's far and few between.
It's got to be that. It's got to be an utter bloodbath to bring you to the thing. And like you said, those are just, they're rare. I did watch this McGregor cowboy thing the other night, or like last month. It was over in like 14 seconds. He shouldered him in the nose, broke his nose, kicked him in the face, and that was it. It's like, I need heavyweights. I need the big fellas. And I don't just need any big fella. Like, the Klitschko era was boring as crap. There wasn't enough pain inflicted. There weren't enough interesting guys in or out of the ring. It wasn't a good... So when I tell you these guys are worth it, I find them worth it. I'm not just making that up. Like, I've been drawn to this division because Wilder is wildly entertaining. Maz was just saying this to me off the air. He's had 42 fights, 43 fights, and 41 have been by knockout. He's undefeated, 41-0-1. The one draw was with Fury, which you just heard. So he's had 43 fights, 41, he knocked the guy out.
Right, one decision, one draw.
Okay, the guy has an absolutely devastating right hand. Knocks you into next week. I also like Wilder because he's not some, but he's in shape. When you see him, he's cut. He's big. He's like 6'7" or something.
He is 6'7".
And he's ripped.
Chiseled.
And he's in tremendous shape.
Chiseled.
So it's not like Fury, not so much. He gets lumpy. And he doesn't look like, you know, Wilder looks like a badass. Fury looks like a British hooligan, you know, like you should be in some soccer brawl,
yeah,
in the stands.
Like, he should be like in a biker bar.
But it turns out he's actually a pretty good boxer and a slippery guy in the ring and hard to hit and hard to square up. And this is why I like Fury. If his head is screwed on, I'm rooting for Wilder. I'm just worried that Fury, well, the first fight, Fury beat him, I thought, soundly. And only because Wilder knocked him down a couple times, including one that almost knocked him out in the 12th. Did he get that split draw? But Fury was a better guy that night.
I mean, see, to me, it's Wilder that makes it, and not just because of the flair and everything else, and you pointed out he's American, but also because he's not technical. I mean, you get the feeling with Wilder, in a big fight, it's going to end one way or the other. He's either going to leave himself open and get knocked into next week, or he's going to obliterate the guy in front of him. And there's still a lot of people out there that haven't watched a lot of it, and I know you mentioned this at the time. His last fight, people need to Google the knockout of Ortiz. He hits him so freaking hard.
Look at the last two. Was it Brazil? Was the one before Brazil? His last couple knockouts are just stupid. I mean, the man is, he's got an incredible right hand. Incredible. And he's in such good shape, he will sort of wait you out, and you'll be sitting there like three, four rounds like, are you going to throw any punches, Deontay? And then, like, because he's still in, say, such in good shape, he in the sixth or seventh, the opponent starts to tire a little bit, and he clobbers him.
No, he fights for the knockout.
This leads us all to the DraftKings Bet of the Week.
This is the DraftKings Bet of the Week.
Okay, so here are some odds, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings on this fight. They have Wilder minus 115 right now, which I'm surprised. I think Fury should be a slight favorite. I think Fury should be a slight favorite just based on how they matched up the first time.
And do they have the Fury number right there, right next to it?
So they have Fury at minus 106. So you're both given, you know, so it's like it's really a toss-up.
It is. It's so cool. That's what they're telling you. And the only other thing I noticed by looking at some odds earlier in the week, surprisingly to me, they expect this fight to go, you know, into the later rounds, meaning past six, call it. Like, you know, the payoffs for the early rounds were much higher than they were for the late rounds, which means they think the fight's going to last a while.
So this is telling. This is what I'm afraid of. Odds to win by KO. KO, TKO, or DQ, right? That's all treated as the same. You knock him out, or the ref stops it, or he has to throw in the towel, right? For Wilder to win, he's plus 125 in that fashion. For Fury to win in that fashion, he's plus 550. Okay? To win by points, Fury's only plus 170, and Wilder's plus 900. So they're saying that if Wilder wins,
knockout.
It's a knockout. And if Fury wins, it's points, which is what would have happened that last time if Wilder hadn't knocked him down in the 12th.
Correct.
And so I am worried. I'm rooting for Wilder. I'm a big Wilder guy. I like Fury, too. I like both these guys. But I'm a big Wilder guy, so I'm rooting for him. My worry is that Fury is just going to point him like he almost did the first time. Now, Fury has said he wants to knock him out. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to knock him out. If that's the case, then Fury's in trouble.
That's probably a sales pitch.
Probably a sales pitch, which I would agree.
Because if he starts, nobody wants to throw punches with Wilder. None of them do. You know, Joshua, for crying out loud, who's as big as Wilder and is in good a shape, he can't take a punch. He didn't want to fight Wilder at all.
So maybe this is the American thing or not. I don't know how to explain these two. Again, according to DraftKings, the percent of the handle, 71% is in on Wilder, 29 to Fury. Percent of the bets, 76% on Wilder, 24 on Fury. So the odds are even, but the money's in on Wilder.
People always like the knockout guy, too. I mean, you know, I'm going to bet on him to knock him out in the fourth.
Okay, so anyway, so that's our DraftKings Bet of the Week. Download DraftKings and their app now. Enter code SPORTSHUB during sign-up to try DraftKings for free. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Again, the DraftKings Bet of the Week. Download the DraftKings app right now. You can do your sports betting. Just drive into Salem, pull over to the side of the road, place your bets, and come back. That's what's happening right now until they legalize the thing in Massachusetts, which is coming. But I just think it's a big night for boxing because this is going to draw some people. It should draw some people. And I'm telling you, this is worth your time. But if we get to the fight and it's one of these nights that, it takes forever. They don't come out till 12:30. And Fury just sits there and wins on a decision. It's a boring fight. Then people are going to go, oh, well, I'll go back to ignoring this crap. There's a reason I don't watch this anymore because not enough happens. And so there's a real chance for the sport to blow it on Saturday.
Which is always a possibility.
But then there's the odds. There's a chance for it to get people back. The sport, and I don't care about the sport as much as I do care about this division. Because when we were kids, or even just the Tyson era, that was fun.
Tyson era was awesome.
It's good stuff.
I loved it.
Those were great things to watch. Those were great things to cover. They're interesting people, you know, both just the power of their personality, and it's all sort of a bleep show. I mean, let's face it. These guys are all just borderline. It's a bleep show. So, I mean, like, it's all just sort of fun and interesting. I like it. I like the promotions. I like the personalities. I like the whole thing. I wish it was back. I want it to be back. I think these guys can bring it back. I think the quality of the boxing now with these guys is close to what it was in the Tyson era. I really do. It might be better. Now, there's still some bums out there, and you still see some crap, as you would. But even those are fun because then you get to see Wilder knock out some bum in the third round. And he goes down hard, and that's always worth it. But these guys can fight, and they're entertaining. They're fun.
I mean, the thing you said about the heavyweights, too, right? Because this all goes back to Tyson and the fact that you know, the division back then wasn't great. But he was indisputably the baddest man in the world, right? That's the whole thing with that. Who's going to beat him?
Yeah.
Some flyweight? And if Wilder wins this fight, you'll have some of that.
He's that guy. Undefeated, he's at 43 fights. He hasn't lost. And Fury's had like 29 fights, hasn't lost. So it's one of these guys. And if it's Wilder, I think he can become a real star, like a crossover, bankable star that we haven't had in that sport in a long, long time. Bigger than Mayweather, who's a bad guy and a boring fighter. And, you know, how many Mayweather fights you come out of going like, God, what a waste of my time. Wilder's not going to waste your time. So if they can deliver a good product and Wilder can knock this guy out, I think you'll see it start to, you know, go in that direction.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Okay, so anyway, there's your minute on that. We have Chris Gasper standing by on an agenda-free Friday. The Bruins trade details right here in the update. We come back with Chris.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.